I'm just going to take a few minutes to reflect on God's word today. I was reflecting on these two words, created and called. We are all created and called. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to John, the Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 66 to 69. Jesus had been preaching all sorts of interesting things. He had gone through some amazing moments of showing miracles to crowds, feeding the 5,000, walking on water, and then he starts saying some really difficult things about his death and his resurrection, and people were starting to get confused, and maybe even a little upset, angry, and then you get to these verses in verse 66 where it says, from this time, many of his disciples, his followers, turned back and no longer followed Jesus, no longer followed him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 that were left, these 12 disciples that he had called. He said, you do not want to leave me too, to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. A great statement by Peter. There's so many things that are in this passage that raise questions for me. Why are all these other disciples leaving Jesus? What's going on there? Why was Jesus discouraged? When he's asking the 12, so are you going to leave me too? Was this a sad phrase? Was this just a matter of fact? Was he just making a statement? Or was the Son of God discouraged? What did Peter mean when he said, you have the words of eternal life? That's interesting language. We have understandings of what eternal life might mean. What did Peter mean when we see the words, you have the words of eternal life? And what did Peter mean when he said, you are the Holy One of God? What was Peter declaring at that time? All these great phrases, all these great questions, and it'd be fun to delve into all those questions, those passages. But what I want to reflect on in the passage is simply this. I want to reflect on Peter, a follower of Jesus, who found life and meaning in following Jesus. That's the reflection. A disciple who found life and meaning in following Jesus. You are the eternal life. You are the Holy One of God. You are my life. Now turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16. Just a couple books over to your left in the Bible. Chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. It's a different time, a different moment that this is describing. Jesus is in the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asks his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Who do people say that I am? What's word on the street for what people are saying about me? Well, the disciples replied in verse 14, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus gets really personal. He says, but what about you? He asks, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter raises his voice and answers, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. Peter means rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then there's this strange verse at the end where he says, then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. More questions arise. More questions. What's going on in this passage? How did God reveal to Peter that Jesus was the Messiah? According to Jesus, who was the church that Peter is basically the foundation of, or at least the beginnings of it being established? And what did Jesus mean that the gates of hell will not overcome this church? And what's actually most interesting to me and what I'm most curious about is this language of heaven and earth. What's with all this heaven and earth language? What is this all about? I think that's fascinating language. I actually think that language of heaven and earth colliding and coming together is actually at the center of the gospel. It's the center of the good news. What Jesus is on about when he's bringing his kingdom forward, he's wanting to see heaven and earth established again in relationship. There's great questions here. Great things to pursue in this passage. And of course, that last verse, after all this, where Jesus sounds quite animated, Peter, you've got it right. I am the Messiah, and I'm going to build my church on you, and the gates of hell will not prevail, and you will have the keys to the kingdom, and you will be able to bind things that are here and there and everywhere. And then he says, now, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody that I'm the Messiah. What's with all these questions? But I'm reflecting today on this disciple, Peter. And the first passage we see of Peter who says, Jesus is my life. He's the one that created me. He's the one that brought me my breath. He's given me eternal life. And this passage I want to reflect on that Peter found life and meaning in Jesus, but was also called to be something and to do something for Jesus. I call you Peter. That's what Jesus said. What's with our interest in calling and purpose? It seems like there's so much language out there right now, probably in the whole self-help movement, where you can read all sorts of things about personal mission statements and goals and different ways to read your schedule or organize your schedule so you can be out there making sure you're on purpose and you're on mission and you're moving forward and making sure that your life is efficient and it's clear and has meaning and purpose. And there's all sorts of different tools out there to tell you how well you're doing at that. There's this real great sense and push towards purpose and meaning in our society. One of the shows we like to watch at home is called America's Got Talent. And there's all sorts of people that come with all sorts of wild talents. And they come onto the show and you've got Simon Cowell down there below and he's saying, what is your talent? And it's amazing how many people start to, they come up onto the stage to reveal their talent and they're before, you know, a few thousand people probably in the house and millions of people online. And they'll use this language. They'll say, I feel that my talent is my purpose. My talent is what brings meaning to my life. This is my calling to swallow swords whole. This is my calling to juggle 10 plates in the air. This is my calling to hang upside down from a rope and spin 3,000 times in a row. This is my calling. This is what I was meant to do. I just need to sing. Father, I just need to sing. These callings, these passions, these desires that people have. They're saying, this is my purpose. This is who I was created to be. We use calling language all the time in the church. Calling is what we use in the church to describe some kind of vocational pull, some kind of sense that there's a job to do and we're being pulled towards it, a sense that we're being pulled towards something by God. Call. What's going on? Call. Well, someone's calling your name. They're calling Jeff, they're calling Steve, they're calling Cal, they're calling Chrissy. A name's being called. And they're calling a name. When anybody calls your name, it's usually because they have something that they want us to do. Mom would call my name throughout the neighborhood growing up. When I was in Invermere, she'd open up the screen door and the front door and yell out, Jeff, it's dinner time. And there's the name, Jeff, I'm being called. And there's a purpose, come home for dinner. Calling is someone calling our name. Os Guinness, the great apologist, wrote this book called The Call. And in The Call, he spelt out different approaches to calling and purpose in in people. He says there's all sorts of worldviews out there when it comes to calling and purpose. And one of those worldviews is like a Buddhist worldview where there's a sense that everything in life is really an illusion. There's not really, anything real. It's more of an illusion. So your job then is to recognize that all of this is rather meaningless. It's not, all these pursuits are not what we should be pursuing. You actually find your hope and your experience in realizing that everything is an illusion. Now, the other worldview he talks about is a secular worldview, or what some would call an atheistic worldview. This idea that there is no God, therefore there is no moral authority, and therefore when it comes to purpose in life, you just go and make your own path. Just whatever you decide to do, just go and pursue it. That's just what meaning is. Whatever you think it is, just pursue it. Noskinus says, then there's this other path. It's this Judeo-Christian path, this view of the world that there is a God. And this God loves this world. And this God created humanity. And this God calls. We are created and we're called. Created. Created meaning has some place in our life from the beginning. Right from the moment we're born, there is meaning in our lives. This is the Christian worldview when it comes to being created. From the beginning, we have been given life. We've been created to live and have our being in Christ Jesus. We live as representatives of God on earth. We have been created to have life, life more abundantly. Life as God intended it. We're walking in relationship with God. We live in such a way as created beings that we know we are loved. We know that we are valued. We know that just being born human gives us a great sense of worth and value. We are created. And we are called. Called is basically our purpose having a direction. Our purpose has a direction. Jesus calls out to the one he created, to Peter, and he says, on that rock, on you, I've got a purpose for you. I've got a purpose. I'm going to build my church. Calling always catches us where we are at. We first hear God's voice right where we live, right where we're at, wherever we find ourselves, wherever we've moved to, whatever location we're in, there's a calling that's already started. God is giving direction to the purpose and meaning that we have in life. Jesus is in the business of restoring who we were intended to be, working for God's kingdom, being the place where heaven and earth come together. Calling meets us where we are at, and often through our passions and through our holy discontent. We get this sense that when we're out, no matter where we're at, whether we're out at work or whether we're out at school or whether we're in the neighborhood or when we're in the grocery store, when we're just sitting at home at the dinner table, we are called. We are on mission. We have something to offer the world because God is calling us into a direction. There's this great image of this bridge. It was my first slide, and this is the full image of it. This is a bridge. It's called the Golden Bridge. I believe it's in Vietnam. Anybody been in Vietnam and seen this bridge? It's fairly new. It was just established, I think, 2017. It's a spectacular bridge that you can walk along, and it's being held by these two massive hands. Now, it's not really being held by it. You can see there's other kind of stands there, but it gives the illusion that the bridge is being held by the hands of God. And these hands are just massive, holding the direction of where people are going. I think it's such a wonderful metaphor. In fact, the person that built the bridge said, this is an example of our lives where we see our lives being held between heaven and earth. That's the actual phrase of the person that helped build the bridge. I believe this language of being created and being called is you see it, this image is the epitome of what those two things mean. We are being held by the hands of God. Frederick Buchner has this great phrase that I'm sure you've heard many times before. What is calling? He says, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I love that phrase. Your gladness, what brings you joy, what brings you inspiration, what brings you passion, what things that you're excited about. When those things connect in with what the world so desperately needs, you will find your calling. The kind of work God usually calls us to is the kind of work that, A, we need most to do. We just need to do this. And B, what the world most needs to have done. I want to suggest that Jesus is in the calling business. Jesus calls us to a direction. We have meaning and purpose, and we got to do something about it. He's calling, and the world has needs, and we have passions. And when those things could come together, watch out, world. God is on the move. Jesus called Peter. You hear Peter's passion and his restlessness. You are the God who brings eternal life, or you're the Messiah that brings eternal life. Peter might not even know what Jesus was really all about, but he believed that he was the Messiah. You bring eternal life. Where else will we go? You hear that desperation. Where else could we go? You have life. And you hear the passion and enthusiasm going, I know who you are. People might think you're John the Baptist. People might think you're Elijah, but I know who you are. You are the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. And you can hear Peter just getting excited in these passages. We found what we're looking for. You're the one. And Jesus says, I hear your passions, and the world needs you to tell them about your experience. The world needs you to represent me here. The world needs you, Peter, with those passions. So let me empower you with the Spirit and be my church in this world. Jesus called Peter. Jesus called the Crons. Cal and Chrissy Cron. I remember the first interview I had with them. In late 2014, I was elected in to be a pastor at Emmanuel Church. We'd gone through an awful lot. In fact, we were in the midst of a building program. I didn't know too much about what the building was all supposed to even look like. I was just trying to get my foundation established underneath me, and we'd had some different pastors that resigned to go off to other locations, and we were scrambling to fill out our staff, and there was a sense of overwhelmness going, how are we going to do this? We just brought in a $14,000 a month mortgage, and the staff that we had had before, well, we didn't have the funds to be able to replace that staff. And so going, so Lord, what are we going to do? How are we going to move forward? How do we find a staff to help us move forward through this challenging time? A good time, but a challenging time. And remember, I Skyped in with Cal and Chrissy, and I was making pizza at home, trying to convince them that if they come to Emmanuel, I'll make them pizza. I'm not sure if I ever did. And I just remember just a sense that God was calling them here. In fact, I finished the Skype and I said, yeah, they're coming. They don't know that they're coming, but they're coming. And I think there was a bit of wrestling at first. And is this what God has in store for us? And then they said, yeah, let's come. Let's make Emmanuel a church home. And they came and they were called. You know, one of the things that I just love about Cal is he's got this holy discontent. There's a sense that there's something more that the church could be on about. That there's a kingdom that can be enhanced through the local church. Asking the question, Cal has done many times, is this the best that the church offers to the world? Have we connected with the neighbors, our neighbors, as we should? Are we building disciples in the way that we should? There's this restlessness, this holy discontent. We need to somehow bring gospel to our community. We need to somehow become more alive in our own church and our own Christian community. And so Cal and Chrissy came into Emmanuel with vigor. They got involved. They helped in so many ways that they were a gift to me. I wanted a pastor that was one of those jack of all trades pastors that you can bring and just, can you fill this hole? Can you help here? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you make this happen? Cal's been faithful and loyal and full of joy. Then a wrestling arose. Over the last year or so, started to ask, what are our passions? What are we passionate about? What skills and giftings has God created us, in us, I should say? And then, as they chatted, they talked about this love that they had for Quebec. Quebec was a place where they'd been before, a place where they had had wonderful ministry experiences, but also a place that they had a brokenheartedness over, a place where they realized it desperately needs God, desperately needs hope, a place in our very country, and there's brokenness everywhere, but seems so magnified in the province of Quebec. And mixing this passion and this blend of love for Quebec and the brokenness in their hearts over the needs of Quebec, calling developed. They were created with these passions and these skills to reach out to those that don't know Jesus, a passion for Quebec culture. And that's hit that place where the world's greatest need needs a Cal and Chrissy Cron. Of course, they can't do it on their own. They need the power of the Spirit to be with them. But that's the making of a calling. They're hearing God's voice. They're hearing, Cal, Chrissy, come on out. Come on out. We need you here in Quebec. My calling, I got the chance to reflect on why I'm even a pastor today. I've often called myself the reluctant pastor. Mom always said that I'd be the pastor, and I'm going, no, I want to be a cartographer. I want to make maps. I want to do other things. And I went to Bible college because Mom said my brother and my sister were there. It wouldn't be neat if all of the Oregons were there all at the same time. And somehow one semester turned into 4 years and turned into 20 plus years in pastoral ministry. And I go, how did that happen? But from a very young age, there was a sense of a joy when interacting with people. There was a sense that people matter to God, and that stories matter, and that names matter, and the community matters. And that was juxtaposed against this idea that people are really broken, and we're not the joyful community as in the way that we could be. And there's more life to be had. There's components we are missing in church life, depth and joy and laughter and community. And I believe so deeply that the children were the hope for the future. And so I became a children's pastor. And from there, I went into associate work. From there, became a lead pastor. And some are the passions and enthusiasms mixed with this great need of the world, and calling kicks in. Jesus called Peter. Jesus called the Crons and the Bjorgans. And Jesus calls you. He calls you. That might not be new language to you, but I want it to sink in. He calls you. You were created with meaning. And he's calling you to a great purpose, a great direction. You were created by God. He is the giver of life. He's calling you. Every interaction with another person, any interaction you have with anybody else in this world could be a God moment. He's calling you to be his force on planet Earth. He's calling you to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's calling you to be that place where heaven and earth meet. He's calling you to be representatives of Christ where you are at, where you are going, no matter where you find yourself. And so I ask the question today, this morning, what is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do? Just take a moment and really reflect on that. We don't have enough time for reflection often in culture and society. And when we reflect, you might reflect on mission statements or goals or agendas, and that's all fine and dandy. But right now, just take a moment to reflect, what is God calling me to? Why are you here? Why are you here on planet Earth? What makes you glad? What brings you joy? What brings you passion? What makes you restless? What gives you a holy discontent? This is not how it should be. What are those feelings that keep you up at night for the sake of the kingdom? What are those things give you just such joy and a sense of peace when you're doing them? And then what does the world so desperately need? As you're working for that calling, Lord, what am I called to do? What are my passions? What are my dreams? What have you created me to be? Then ask that next question, is what are the needs of the world? And can I tell you, that's the simplest question to answer because the world needs a lot of Jesus. The world needs a lot of Jesus. It's not hard to see. We need examples of healthy marriages. We need consistency of character, integrity. Our world needs hope. Our world needs mentors and friends. It needs community. It needs bravery and boldness. It needs God experiences on a daily basis. It needs the supernatural becoming natural. We need answers to prayer. We need better time management. We need financial stewardship. We need conflict resolution. We need peace and we need harmony. We need practical support that provides food and medicine and clothing and shelter and clean water and dignity. We need better civil discourse. We need a deep care for humanity, and we need a deep care of the places that we live. We need leadership. We need servant leadership. We don't need more titles. We need workers to work the harvest. It's not hard to see what the world's needs are. But if you're wondering what your calling is, think about the passions and the giftings and the holy discontent you're going through and match it up with like a list that I just spoke out. And there you will find your calling. What do you have to offer? Well, I bet in this room there's so much to offer the world. There is so much to offer the world. We're underutilized. Watch us. When you catch us at our best, when you catch the church at our best, watch out, world, because you'll see people confident in the calling that God has given them to go out into the world saying, we know the eternal life and we are God's church. And he has emboldened us by his Spirit to go in the directions that he's calling us to go. May we be that, called and created people of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask right now, with open arms, with open hands, that you would speak to us. That you would give us passion. That you would give us holy discontent. Even right now, Lord, you'd speak into our hearts and our minds. And you speak to us and say, this is what I'm calling you to. This is where I'm leading you to. No, you don't have to send us off to Africa. You don't have to send us off to Montreal. You can send us right here into West Kelowna, into Peachland, into Kelowna, into Penticton and Summerland and throughout the BC, wherever you find us, Lord, you can use us, you can call us. And so, Lord, our hands are open. Use us, I pray. Call us, I pray. And like your servant Peter, I pray, Lord, we remember that we are created and we are called And we're declaring to you right now this morning that we are open to where you'd have us to go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.